Hey, y'all, you know I'm on tour, so see if I'm coming to your city. You can click here at laylo.com/Sarah Silverman, laylo.com/Sarah Silverman for tickets. Hope to see you there, wherever there is.
Athena Club, baby. Oh, I just got my new razor kit, my new replenishment yesterday, and I love them so much. This razor lasts forever. It's the best shave I've ever gotten. Athena Club's razors has thousands of five-star reviews, including from me, and is designed with built-in skin guards to help prevent razor burn while being gentle on curves. The best part is the razor kit is only $9 and comes with two blade heads, a magnetic hook for shower storage, and your choice of handle color. I went with coral. Show your skin you care with Athena Club Razor Kit. Head to athenaclub.com and use code Silverman for 25% off your first order. Again, that's athenaclub.com and use code Silverman for 25% off. Athena Club also launched in Target stores nationwide this month, so make sure to check out the shaving aisle to buy their products IRL, baby. Hey, everyone, it's your old pal, Sarah Silverman, and let's get right into some voicemails.
You left me a message, now I'm playing it for the world. Let's hear some voicemails.
Hi, Sarah. This is a very personal sex question that I feel really dumb asking, but I don't know who else to ask. I was raised very religious and I don't feel comfortable asking anyone I know. And I've tried the internet and it always just results in some really gross DMs, which make me delete the question and also question humanity. So my question slash problem is that you're supposed to pee after sex to be clean and not get UTIs, right?
Oh, yeah.
But what if your tank is empty by the time sex is over, aka you experience squirting during climax? Sidebar, let's get a new word for squirting. End of sidebar. So yeah, I'm like over here chugging a gallon of water and watching a video of a river post-sex to force myself to pee. And I'm just wondering if there's an easier way. Like, is there some normal people, cool kid knowledge that I missed out on because I was basically raised to pretend that sex doesn't exist? I would love to know that knowledge. I would love to learn. Anyways. You're great. Thanks for giving me a safe place to ask this very embarrassing question. I love you.
Oh my gosh. I'm impressed that you squirt. I've never seen that outside of, well, I mean, because I don't watch others have sex, I guess, except in porn. And then that's a whole other genre. But these are my questions slash comments. First of all, I think you're supposed to pee after sex if your partner comes in you when you want to try to pee it out. If you don't have any pee in you, you can just kind of wash with a wet washcloth, you know, and then try to push out the semen as if you're peeing, and it should come out, and then you can just like clean up with a in the tub or the shower with like a warm washcloth or something. You know, you don't have to stress about it, really. Also, if you are squirting after, well, what is coming out when you're squirting? I never really knew. It's like there's some people say it's like your wetness, like, you know, how you get wet when you're turned on. It's that like juice. It's vagina juice, I guess. some people insist it's pee. I would guess you as a squirter are saying like it is not pee. I don't think it is. I don't know the answer. But yeah, why if you can't pee, don't stress about it. Eventually you will pee. And in the meantime, you can just kind of like wipe with a cum towel. What do you think cum towels are for? We have fun. All right, what else?
Hi, Sarah. I just watched the comeback on HBO for probably the third or fourth time and somehow just put two and two together that is your fucking sister, Laura.
Yoo-hoo.
And my mind is just blown. So I'm curious if you have any thoughts of that show? Have you seen it? Do you have any funny stories by way of Laura? I just think it's one of the funniest shows of all time. The subtleties within it are just incredible. And then a second part to that would be, have you ever considered, if she would want to, having Laura on the podcast, maybe answering some questions with you or filling in if you're out for the week or something? I just think she was incredible in that show and just so, so, so funny. All right. Thanks so much.
Of course, I've seen The Comeback, and Laura is so brilliant in it. And the show is just unbelievable. God, I want to watch that again. And what show has had two seasons 9 years apart? It's so cool. It was so ahead of its time. And I think people weren't ready to be uncomfortable like that. And then The Office became very popular, and people were ready for that kind of main character. And when it came back for that second season, it was just so brilliant and beautiful. It was really kind of one of the first, that second season feels like one of the first forays into like hard comedy that can also warm your heart and be beautiful. Because since then, there's been a few of those. God, we just watched just all of it about three times through and I'm late to the game, Tim Robinson's I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson. Holy fucking shit. It's so hardcore. It's so funny. It is so brilliant. And then every once in a while, there's a sketch that, well, there's humanity in like every one of the sketches, but it's so funny, hardcore funny. And then like that, there's a scene with Bob Odenkirk that is so funny and is so beautiful. It's really interesting. Anyway, I feel like that was kind of a turning point comedically in the comedy landscape, was that second season of The Comeback that wasn't afraid to be really beautiful and as well as very, very funny. Yeah. All right.
Hi, Sarah. I have a question for you. I was just on the topic with one of my friends about this. I'm wondering if you have ever had a partner that had like a kink that you maybe tried and didn't like, or tried that you did like. I've never had that experience. And my partner and I have like 5 years we have good sex, top tier, but we're both fairly vanilla. And I'm wondering if we should try out different kinks to see if there's anything that we like that we didn't know that we liked. Have you ever done something like that? This is a weird question. Sorry to make you talk about this, but I'm curious. Thanks. Love you. Bye.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like one person's kink is another person's like Tuesday. You know, it's should you? There's no should. If you're interested, then sure. You know, like for me, Rory and I mean, I don't want to, like there's two people. I can't really just say anything I want that involves Rory. But for me, it's like the talk. I talk the talk, but I don't walk the walk in terms of that stuff. Like I'll say crazy stuff, but like, you know, then I'll say like time out, you know, and be like, not really. You know, like afterwards, I kind of go like, I didn't really, but in sex, I want to say that stuff, but I don't necessarily mean, you know, like whatever. And so we have like an understanding and we know what the boundaries are and everything. So for that, that's like, we just like talking crazy, but we don't necessarily follow it through, but we always say we're gonna, or maybe we will. For me, that's like, that does it for me. I feel like I'm kind of vanilla too, but then I'll be with a partner who's like, you're crazy. You know, so like, I don't know what vanilla is. Is that just like, doing it missionary style. I don't know. But, you know, I'm kind of game for a lot of things. There's stuff I know I don't want to do. There's stuff I'm open to, and there's stuff that I'm not open to. I don't know. Everyone's got their own thing. But you should, you got nothing to lose. But at the same time, I can't weigh in on this. You guys should do whatever you have an inclination to do. But there's no should. I mean, you sound like you have a good sex life, so just be psyched about that, you know? But there's always something you can do or some new vibe you could put out there, I guess, during sex. I don't know. What else? Did I answer that question? I don't even know. All right, what else?
Hi there, Sarah. This is Drew from Denver. I was just kind of curious if you have any words or phrases that, for whatever reason, just kind of drive you nuts. For example, whenever I hear somebody describe something as tasty or delicious and they're not talking about food, it just kind of makes me go crazy. For example, if someone's like, ooh, that's a tasty guitar riff, or her vocals are delicious, it just kind of irritates me. Thanks. Bye.
I always say, like, kids or babies are delicious. Like, when people send me the, you know, friends send me pictures of their kids, I'm like, oh, God, he's delicious. I don't know if that's a Jewish thing or a woman thing or I don't know what it is that it's like about to see a child who's just so cute. You want to, that there's like, you want to eat them. But I don't really, I don't know. The first thing that came to my mind was like, I like the word dude. Hey, calling people dude, I have no problem with dude. But when it's like someone's in a insecure, defensive place and it's like, well, and I was like, dude, for some reason it rubs me, because it's just, to me, it's like I can see that the insecurity is so palpable in it. And then they're acting like they are okay or don't have... I don't know. It just feels very connected to like an insecurity and then covering that insecurity. And because I can see it, it bothers me. I don't even know if that makes sense. But yeah, I don't know. I remember like moist can be one of those words, or, but I don't, not really. It doesn't bother me. No. All right.
Here's some ads. Boom, hear that? Music to my ears. That's the sound of another sale on Shopify. And the moment another business dream becomes a reality. Shopify is the commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide. Whether you're selling drumsticks or dog toys. Sorry, I had to look around my room. I'm not good at improvising. Shopify simplifies selling online and in person so that you can focus on successfully growing your business. You guys, Shopify covers every sales channel from an in-person POS system to an all-in-one e-commerce platform. It even lets you sell across social media marketplaces like TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. And thanks to 24/7 help and an extensive business course library, Shopify is there to support your success every step of the way. Now it's your turn to get serious about selling and try Shopify today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Sarah, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Sarah to take your business to the next level today. Shopify.com/Sarah.
And we're back.
Hi, Sarah. This is a 25-year-old Los Angelian calling you. And I just want to say thank you so much for being an amazing representation and honestly, a role model for other Jewish girls and women in general. You're just so funny, and thank you.
Huh.
So I'm 25 and I've been seeing somebody for about 7 months who's 23, and he doesn't really know himself. So we've gone back and forth about whether or not to continue, and I've given him time and space, and he always comes back, and he says that he's still kind of unsure, and he seems to be kind of unsure about everything, and I'm not. So what do you do when someone's in that space, when you give them time and you respect them and you have love for them and they obviously have feelings for you? What do I do? Because I'm honestly at a loss. And we keep talking, and I would just love to know what you would do in this situation. Because it might just be that we met each other a little bit too early.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's very possible. It's, you know, a real gift to know what you want when you're young, or to know that you can know what you want and that that might change someday and be okay with that. You know, it's because it can be very paralyzing not knowing what you want. And that's something that a lot of younger people and older people go through a lot. It's probably frustrating for you having to wait on his timeline. And, you know, I hear you say, I've given him time, I've given him space. But giving him time and space is really wonderful. But after that time and space, if you don't have the result you want, you're like, I gave him all this time and space. That's the risk you take. But I really think, and maybe I don't have all the information, so take this with a grain of salt. I think maybe the best thing you can do is move on. And by the way, whatever you decide is going to be right. How about that? Because you learn from the choices you make. I mean, as long as you learn from the choices you make, ultimately, any choice is right. Just sometimes you just need to move on. That his him being paralyzed in choice shouldn't also paralyze you. It's beautiful that you gave him time and space, and I think that's a real mitzvah, and it's great. But he still is stagnant, and that's keeping you stagnant. So I think you should move on, you know, or maybe you're going to decide not to. And that's going to be fine, too, because you're going to learn from that. But if you move on and you have more experiences and you live life where you're at, as opposed to where he's at, I think that's just going to be more fruitful for you. You know, if you're meant to be, in Jewish, we say if it's beshert. I can't believe how Jewish I've become in my old age, by the way. But it's whatever. If you're meant to be, you'll connect again, you know, when you're both ready for it, when you're in that place. But, you know, by then you may have moved on. I don't know. You sound very smart. Whatever you choose is going to be right for this moment. No regrets. But I will say that when I think of my very few regrets, one of them is definitely that I spent too much time with a guy who didn't give me what I needed. But I will say that getting out of that relationship taught me what I needed. And I probably wouldn't have understood those things without having that experience. And that's what I mean by saying whatever you choose will ultimately be right. Even if getting out of it is the thing that's right. But that's my experience that I'm going off of when giving you advice. So take that with a whatever grain of salt is applicable. So good luck, Toots. I think you're going to be great. You got a good head on your shoulders. Good luck. What else?
You know, I think it's weird that succinct is spelled the same as succeed with the double C, but one is succinct and one is succeed. What is that? What the fuck is that? Anyway, my name is Dee Dee. I'm calling from New York City. And I think you're freaking awesome. I was thinking your last name is Silverman. So like, you know, like man of silver, I guess. So like, you know, what is that? Do you know what your ancestors did? Did they work with silver? Cause you know, there's also Goldman, and I'm assuming that the someone that's a Goldman probably had ancestors that worked in gold. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe this is all just bullshit. But do you know what your family did? Your ancestors?
Well, yeah. I mean,
Sarah Silverwoman.
Oh. She's still talking. Okay. I did that finding your roots thing, and I just talked about this a few weeks ago, but like, yeah, everyone was a peddler, dressmaker, cobbler, peddler, 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 peddler. All the way through my dad, Crazy Sophie's Factory Outlet, you know, peddlers. So yeah, shmata business, peddlers. And I don't know this for a fact, but Silverman, Goldman, I think it's the, you know, how I said there's that a derogatory word for Jewish would be like sheeny or shiny, sheeny. Because they sold trinkets, sparkly things, you know. So I think it probably is some version of that. But I don't have any ancestry of like jewelers or anything. Although that's also a very Jewish thing. All right, what else?
Sarah, this is Doug Best. Huge, longtime fan, and you may remember me as Rabid Doug from the Call of Duty streaming days. Tell Annie I said hi.
Oh my God, I just was playing Call of Duty last night. I have ideas for the
Sarah Silverman podcast games that can be merchandised and sold, and I want in on it because I'm an entrepreneur and I need money. Here's the first one. Sarah Silverman podcast bingo. Bingo cards filled with squares that say things like Susie or nervous diarrhea. First to get bingo wins. The Sarah Silverman podcast drinking game. Every player draws a card with a name, phrase, or word. Sarah mentions that name, phrase, or word. You drink. First person to pass out or throw up wins.
These are games that exist.
The Sarah Silverman podcast card game. Each player draws 5 cards from a deck. I can design and package all this. I'm a graphic designer.
Ooh.
Each card has a name, phrase, or word on it. And every card is assigned a numeric value from 1 to 5, depending on how frequently Sarah mentions it. For instance, Rory is only 1 point because Sarah never shuts up about how fucking wonderful he is. But Jewbush is 5 points. At the end of the podcast, points are added up. Whoever has the most wins.
Oh, you got cut off. Well, that's interesting. I am interested that you're a graphic designer. What's his name? Something Best?
Doug Best.
Doug Best. I might look him up. You have a great voice. You have a good vibe. But I don't see much money in those endeavors. Especially if I have to split it with you. What do you think you came up with show bingos? You think you came up with show drinking games? Fucking Doug Best. You're the Doug Worst. All right. Thanks for calling in. What else?
Hi, Sarah. I'm Keith from Glendale, Arizona, and I just discovered your podcast a few days ago. Or it more or less discovered me when it popped up in my YouTube queue. Anyhow, after I watched it, I'm wondering if you can help me resolve a moral dilemma that's been disturbing me. I haven't followed pop music in decades, so I had never heard the name Britney Spears until I read about her conservatorship dilemma last June, June of last year, when she appeared in court and gave her statement. And in her statement, she referred to that she was forced to perform against her will at times, and she compared her situation to human trafficking. So I was horrified, and I thought this would never have happened to if she was a guy. But anyhow, I looked up some of her performances online, and I was stunned at the virtuosity and sheer joy in her performances. And when I watch them now, I don't know whether I'm complicit in her exploitation or whether I'm enjoying the virtuosity of an accomplished artist. Can you help me clear my conscience? Thanks.
I think I can help you clear your conscience, but I don't know. I mean, listen, I would think that if you were to ask, my guess is if you were to ask Britney, she would very much appreciate it, but still want you to enjoy her music because that's her art. That's probably her joy. There were shows that she had to do and money she had to make that weren't her decisions. But I think the music she made and makes, I I have no fucking clue, by the way, but I think you can listen to her music. I think, and it and knowing that it behooves her, that I think she benefits now from people buying her music or listening to her music. I don't know, but I think there are other things you could probably be thinking about and worrying about. You know, if you watch porn, you know, if you watch gangbang porn, you probably should maybe think about that more than Britney Spears music, which I only say this as someone who has enjoyed gangbang porn and is like trying not to, although I do know a porn actress that does gangbang porn and I don't worry about her. But so it's, who knows? I really changed this into another topic, but it is a little bit similar in terms of worrying about this, what's being put out there and your consumption of it, and if that's complicit in some way. But I think you're okay watching some Britney Spears music, listening, enjoying. I think that what she does performance-wise is her joy. I don't know. Good luck with that. What else?
Hi, Sarah. My name is Laura. I live in Illinois. I am in these Facebook groups. I'm in like a few Facebook groups about gardening. Not that I'm good at it. I'm just interested in it and plants in general. And it happens fairly often where someone will post a picture of something or just ask a simple question, which is, you know, what the group is for. And people will respond like angrily, like, oh my God, I'm sorry, that was loud. People will respond and say, you should have just Googled that. Like, that's a Google question. And I find myself, I mean, I don't post into that group, but I was about to just call you and ask if you wiped with toilet paper after using a bidet, because I don't know how that works, but I'm interested in it. And in my mind, I was like, well, that's a very Googleable question, but I myself seek answers from like humans. And I think that that's what a lot of people do, maybe older generation more than current, but I don't know. I feel the reaction of just anger towards somebody for doing that is a little absurd. I was wondering what you think. Oh, that's my daughter. Thanks. Love you. Bye.
The noises in that call, like, it sounded like she had a Foley artist living with her. First of all, I think after a bidet, maybe pat dry a little bit with toilet paper, or there is an air, like you can get just air blowing up your twat and asshole undercarriage. Sorry. Anyway, in terms of people saying you could Google that, if I were a guessing man, which I am, I would say that someone asks a question and the person wants to answer it and doesn't know the answer, and they go to Google it, and then they get frustrated and go like, why am I Googling this for them? Just Google it. But what they're forgetting is if you just knew the answer offhand, you would type it in and not say, just Google it. So my theory is that people who say, just Google it, don't know the answer to it and were about to Google it and realized, why are they Googling something for you? The times I've said it to Rory or kind of hinted at it are when, like, he's standing and, like, we both have our phones in our hands and he asks me a question that is just, I'm just going to Google it. So, like, there you have a whole computer in your hand. And so that's why I have that theory, because that's how I react. All right. What else?
Hey, Sarah, this is Izzy calling in from Park City, Utah. I'm a huge fan of yours. I actually used to carry around a letter in my backpack that I wrote to you. And then I saw you in the airport, but I was too scared to give it to you.
Aww.
That would be maybe weird. But that's not why I'm calling. I'm calling because I'm wondering if you've ever considered writing a children's book. I love how often you reference Mr. Rogers. And yeah, it just made me think you'd be really good at that. Looking forward to hearing your answer. Bye.
I've thought about it. My friend Rob Schraub and I once started writing a children's book together about my old dog, Duck, living in the apartment building we lived in and his perspective. Because it started because I think I said, we were in the elevator in my building, my apartment building, and I said, you know, Duck must, he must think like the elevator's like a time machine. Or, you know, like we get into a box and the door shuts and then the door opens and we're in a whole new world. You know, I don't know why it would be a time machine, but you know what I mean? It's just like, and we just thought it would be interesting to have a children's book about this apartment dog living in an apartment building, whatever. The setup never matters, you know, like in storytelling, you know, like Cheers was about a bar and the people there, you know, like the concept doesn't have to be high concept. It just has to be stories well told. But, you know, children's books are fucking really important. And they hopefully, like a lot of times, they have child psychologists behind them. And, you know, it isn't something that I would just consider like some vanity project to get a children's book out there. I think Henry Winkler writes like really lovely children's books now or something. I remember him, I think, being on a talk show promoting that. You know, maybe someday if I really had the right idea and the story behind it was something that could really help kids, not just entertain them, but like help them go through this weird thing called life. All right. I don't know how to answer this question. All right. That's what I got for you. But you could have passed me a note at the airport. You know, it's a little scarier when it comes from like middle-aged men, but I love getting that from young women. Not to be, that was very genderist and ageist. Genderist? Whatever. What else?
Hi, Sarah. This is Greg in Maine. I'm calling because a few years ago, you were a guest on Conan O'Brien's website podcast, and you asked him if he remembered the New England caterpillar infestation.
Yeah, the monarch
from years back. And he had no idea what you were talking about. I was listening to this podcast and I was saying, yes, I do remember that. I grew up in Andover, Massachusetts, and in the fifth grade,
that's where my stepmom's from.
There were so many caterpillars I couldn't skateboard on my driveway. So I just want to let you know that I remember the caterpillars.
That's very validating. Thank you. Because I do remember that. And I was like, how does Conan, because even if he was in college by then, he was in Boston, Cambridge, you know? But, or maybe it was more felt in rural areas because, you know, there's, of course, they probably cleared the streets and stuff. But no, he would have remembered. I mean, yeah, it's very validating because it was so wild. We were told it was coming and then it came. They became monarch butterflies. But for like a whole whatever section of time, a month, I don't know, a season of some kind, the monarch caterpillars blew into town and it was just like, they were like furry, and it was like our driveway was carpeted. And my sister Jodine and I would play basketball all the time, and we'd go out to play basketball, and like you could not dribble a single dribble of a basketball without killing like four caterpillars. Like there's no way around. It was insane. Very interesting. Oh, thank you for that validation. What else?
Hi, Sarah. It's Lauren from Rhode Island. I actually called in recently about Jordan Peterson, but I was listening to one of your episodes and you said jibe again, like, oh, that doesn't jibe with me.
Yeah.
And for my entire life, I have thought that it was jive with a V. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to call her and I'm just going to tell her that it's not right. Because I know someone called in and said that it wasn't right, but didn't explain how it could be right. So I was like, okay, but let me just go online and double check to make sure I'm not making an ass of myself. And you are right. Jibe is jibe the way you've been using it. And I've been using jive wrong. Thank you for that. you taught me how to correctly use the word jibe. That's all. Love you. Bye.
Yeah, like jibe, like get along with, right? Like, yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for looking it up before calling in, even. I think a lot of people say jive, like that doesn't jive with me. And in that way, it kind of, I can see how that kind of makes sense too. And they're mishearing it, or they learned it from someone else who said that, but it still kind of does make sense. But I am the daughter of my mother, and I tend to know these dumb grammar word things. Not grammar, it's a word. But yeah. Anyway. All right. What else? Thanks for calling.
Hi, Sarah Silverman. I love you like everybody else. And I especially like how you give different perspectives. So I'm going to ask you this question. It's a perspective about somebody who came into my house today to do some work. I live with a man. I'm a woman. He grew up in a household where you always put the toilet lid down, the toilet seat down. And there was someone who came in to do work here, and our lid was down, our toilet seat was down, and they lifted it up and took a pee with everything lifted up, but they didn't return it back down. So what is the etiquette? If you go into someone's house, do you return the toilet seat lid to the position you find it in? I was kind of bummed out. The person that was here left everything up. I put it all down. I thought when they went back to use it, they would see it was down and would do it like that. And then I just thought, wow, why don't I look at it from their perspective? Why do I have to lift the seat up all the time? So I went and I left the seat up, everything up, and I'm going to try to see it from another perspective. Thank you for helping all of us to see everything from another perspective.
Hold on. So she's saying they keep everything down. The guy came, peed, left it up. But her new perspective is she just matches however it was when she came in.
No, I think her new perspective is she can understand why the guy didn't want to bother to put the seat back down.
Okay. Sometimes we think about the little things because it sticks in our craw or whatever. I used to hate when I had a boyfriend that would always leave the seat up and it felt like disrespectful or something. But I don't know. It really doesn't faze me at all anymore. And I also am guilty of it. Like here, I peed here at this studio and always the toilet seat and the lid is down. And I lift the lid and I pee and I leave it, the lid up. I guess I always feel like if you close the lid, you're saying, like in my world, if the lid is closed, you're in a public place where it was just cleaned, which is great. Or you're at someone's house and that means that there's maybe duty floating in there and the flusher isn't working. But I know that isn't the case always, but that's just like the system I think I grew up in. I don't know. I'm not good at returning the seat back to the lid being down or the seat being up. Or I usually leave it lid up, seat down. So glad we had this talk. What else?
Hey, Sarah, it's your best friend, Char. I'm calling from small town Ontario, Canada. And I listen to your show weekly and love it. And I actually watch it with my eye holes. So thank you very much. Love what you do. Something occurred to me recently, and I wondered if it had ever occurred to you. So why do mattress manufacturers only market to us on the basis of the type of wonderful sleep their mattresses can provide, and not the awesome sex you can have on it? Like, Don't you think if they changed it to that, their sales would go through the roof? Like, buy our mattresses. They're the best to fuck on. Anyway, it just struck me as odd, you know, and it kind of shows our society's tendency to avoid talking about sex in the most natural and healthy ways. Anyway, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
I mean, what do you want me to say? I don't know. If Manscaped had a mattress, they'd probably do that. Yeah. But I think mattresses are more or less, the need for them is, am I even like answering this question? I don't, you know, if you have a mattress company, you'll talk about how great it is to fuck on, but I think it's more, you know, functionally for sleeping. And yes, you have sex on it, but yeah, maybe you're right. You know, they should have a quiz when you get your mattress. Do you like to sleep firm or hard? Do you like to fuck firm or hard? I don't know. Whatever. This question is ridiculous. Go on.
I will say one time I put a futon up on Craigslist, like in 2003 or something, a free futon. And a guy wrote back and said, how is it for doing the deed? And I wrote back, do you mean sleeping? I knew what he meant. And he was like, no. Anyway.
That's.
People want to know.
So how is it?
Yeah, how was the futon for?
I guess it was okay. It wasn't bad, I suppose.
Did you ever have sex on that futon?
Yes. A handful of times, I suppose.
A handful. So you were alone. We have fun here at the Sarah Silverman Podcast Studios. You know, that reminds me of Andy Dick used to have a joke about. He used to say, I confuse futons with croutons. I make really big salads. I may be missing something. I don't know. I remember it being funny in the early 90s. And with that, Dad, we are winding down. Now is the moment in the show where I say subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts, and check us out on YouTube if you like watching. Wink, wink. Bye.
Hey, I wanna.
Hey.
Bye. Hey, ya fucker.